Yesterday was University Day, marking the anniversary of UNC's founding back in 1793. Big event at Memorial Hall to commemorate the occasion, as always. With more on the day and the history, here's 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell.
University Day is held each October 12th, as the date commemorates when the cornerstone was laid for the university's first building, Old East. The traditional recognition began 84 years later, and today includes no afternoon classes for students, a procession down Cameron Avenue in front of the Old Well, and a ceremony in Memorial Hall. With this year's University Day falling during Carolina's University Research Week, the event had a distinct focus on celebrating the school's research achievements. Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz described research as curiosity's purest expression, having been a researcher on concussions and brain injuries himself at UNC for decades before becoming chancellor. Guskowitz said the university has doubled its research enterprise in the last 15 years, now bringing in $1.2 billion each year in research funding for the state. But the chancellor was quick to say while the numbers are impressive, the impact of such research across North Carolina and the world is the real legacy. In 2021 alone, the university reported more than 900 of its research projects helped address the health, education, or well-being of North Carolinians. Guskowitz said,
"Our history gives me reason to hope for the future. When we think about the issues in our world today, it's easy to be discouraged. But I have hope because I have seen what our researchers have accomplished in 229 years. What more they will do in the next 229.
To best continue the university's leadership and research prowess, some changes are needed. UNC has dozens of outstanding capital needs projects that are currently underfunded or not prioritized. But chair of the UNC Board of Trustees, Dave Bullock, said to the crowd Wednesday that the appointed leadership is focused on turning that around.
We can't expect a university that has been around since the time of George Washington, for goodness sake, to not need substantial maintenance. We have hundreds of millions of dollars in deferred maintenance and repairs needed on our campus. I will tell you today that the Board of Trustees and the Chancellor and the administration are committed to finding creative ways to maintain and revitalizing our campus. Now is the time."
Bullock also made comments about how the university's multi-century history is not unblemished. Discussed in prior University Day ceremonies, the school continues to grapple with contextualizing its history and prominent figures that also had roots in the disenfranchisement or suppression of minorities. Bullock said, however, that he still believes in embracing that history as UNC's and celebrating how today the campus thrives as a leader in the, quote, great experiment that is public higher education. UNC student body president Talijah Van spoke to this as well, saying she believes the university should work to honor the legacy of Tar Heels who have pushed the school forward throughout its dynamic history.
"As only the third Black woman elected student body president and the first Black student movement president to ever hold this office, I have an unrelenting appreciation for the history of change makers at Carolina. Alumni, current students, faculty, staff, and administrators alike."
Part of the University Day ceremony was spent honoring one of those trailblazers. Karen Parker, who graduated in the class of 1965 after being the first Black woman to enroll as an undergraduate at UNC, was in attendance. Guskowitz and the university gave Parker a Distinguished Alumni Award for her work in journalism throughout her professional career, as well as recognizing her bravery and activism while being a student.
"For outstanding contributions in journalism, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill is pleased to confer on Karen L. Parker this Distinguished Alumna Award. Congratulations."
You can revisit Wednesday's full University Day ceremony by visiting chapelborough.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Good news on the COVID-19 front, as North Carolina saw a big drop in all major metrics last week, including a 28% drop in COVID particles found in wastewater, down to their lowest level since mid-April. COVID hospitalizations also dropped to their lowest level since May. Health experts are still urging residents to stay up to date on COVID shots and flu shots, too, especially as we head into the winter. If you head to University Place Mall this week, you'll see the start of a very big change. Contractors have put up temporary fencing around the parking area off Estes Drive near the former Southern Season, first step in a process that will eventually result in the construction of a new Chase Bank building on that site, just the first in many steps of a long redevelopment process. The mall entrance by the Circle K gas station will also eventually be closed for that construction, but for now, the entrance is still open. Finally, we head to Carrboro, where officials have just named Liza Wolf Francis as the town's new poet laureate, replacing Fred Joyner. She'll take over the position in January. I had a chance to chat about Liza Wolf Francis with Susan Spalt, who's on the Carrboro Poets Council.
I think what makes Liza special is her combination of poetic talent. She's a wonderful poet. She's published. She is very accomplished. And she's also very good at working with people and helping us continue to get organized. And I think she's going to bring new ideas and a lot of energy to the Poets Council, which we really need. It's always good to have someone who can be both a dreamer and a doer. A lot of people are one or the other, but I think Liza is both. And I really look forward to working with her in the coming years.
What sets her poetry apart?
She writes about nature and ecology. She has a wide variety of poetic styles, and she loves poetry, and that's the most important thing.
That's Susan Spalt speaking there. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by the Sheraton Chapel Hill. We're six games into the college football season. The big story for UNC has been the performance of freshman quarterback Drake May. May has just been added to the midseason watch list for the Maxwell Award, which goes to the National Player of the Year. He is currently third in the nation in passing touchdowns and second in total yards of offense per game. He and the Tar Heels are heading up to Duke this Saturday with the victory bell on the line. With your preview of that one, here's 97.9 The Hills, Michael Coe.
Last Saturday, the Tar Heels won their fourth straight game against the Miami Hurricanes. This Saturday, they'll look to make it four straight against another opponent, their arch rivals from Durham. Carolina has had its way with the Duke Blue Devils since head coach Mack Brown's return to Chapel Hill in 2019, but like Miami, Duke will trot out a new head coach to face the Hall of Famer Brown. Mike Elko is in the first year of his first ever head coaching job, taking over for the recently retired David Cutcliffe. And through the first half of the season, Elko has already surpassed Duke's win total from 2021. Brown said Elko, who served as an assistant in multiple successful programs, has his full respect.
This has been an exciting week. Duke week always is. Mike Elko knows this game. He coached at Wake Forest for Dave Clawson for a long time. He did an outstanding job at Notre Dame and at Texas A&M. He's one of the best defensive coordinators in the country as an assistant, and they're doing a great job.
The Tar Heels have faced an Elko-led defense before in the Mack Brown era 2.0. Elko's Texas A&M team defeated Carolina in the 2020 Orange Bowl, though UNC did score 27 points in the game. Offensive coordinator Phil Longo said Duke's defense shares several qualities with that Aggie team.
Their defense is very similar. You know, the talent base is different. You know, they have different strengths at different positions than they did at A&M. And as cliche as this sounds, it is a very, very well-coached defense. So Duke is not out of position a lot.
Carolina's defense, meanwhile, has been the talk of the program in the past 2 weeks. In the wins against Virginia Tech and Miami, the Tar Heels gave up just 34 combined points, including just a single touchdown in the two second halves. By comparison, the team had given up 73 combined points in the previous two games. The run defense in particular has stood out for all the right reasons. After allowing App State, Georgia State, and Notre Dame to rush for more than 230 yards each, the Tar Heels held both the Hokies and the Hurricanes to fewer than 100 yards. Brown said he hopes the improved performance starts a domino effect along the rest of the defense.
You're Appalachian, we didn't do anything right. We played okay for two quarters. But they ran for 288 and they threw for 1,000 and there's 40 points in a quarter and too many penalties and it was just all over the place. So I really feel like that when you get so, you're doing something good and we have stopped the run really well the last 2 weeks, that gives you a chance to get better at the rest of it.
That defense will take on a Duke offense rushing for nearly 200 yards per game through the first half of the season. Three Blue Devils have scored four touchdowns on the ground, including quarterback Riley Leonard. UNC defensive coach Gene Chizik, who coached in the rivalry in 2015 and 2016, said Duke has the tools to challenge the Tar Heels.
This is a different Duke team than maybe people have seen before. Now, look, I haven't been here, and I haven't watched them in the last several years, but this is a very good football team. They're physical. They're very well coached. Speaking from the offensive side, that's all I've watched, and they've got some talented players at positions that matter.
One good defensive performance is one thing. Two in a row could be considered a coincidence. But three in a row, which is what Brown said he is hoping to see Saturday night, could be seen as a promising trend for the once beleaguered unit.
Defensively, we've been catching up. And we've got a lot of young guys that are playing, and they are getting better. And they are getting more confident. But we've got to get so we consistently play great defense to have the program we want. We can't outscore people all the time. And hopefully after the last two weeks, we're headed in that direction.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Kickoff time, 8 p.m. Our coverage on 97.9 The Hill begins at 5 with Inside Carolina Live. Elsewhere in sports, congrats to the UNC men's golf team. They beat Florida State in match play yesterday to win the Jackson Stevens Cup title down in Juno Beach. And congrats to the Carolina Hurricanes. They beat the Blue Jackets 4-1 in their NHL season opener last night. Canes are back in action tomorrow on the road at San Jose.